We'd like to welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
Yes, yeah, so good to be back, Marty.
Well, Bill, we're continuing on the series of Great Resolutions. So we've been covering the life and the work of Robert Govett. And last time, if you recall, we noticed that Brother Robert Govett was quite a pursuer of the truth. And this was very key and has been very key in the Lord's work of recovery to bring us back to many precious truths and practices revealed in the scriptures that were either lost or distorted. And so as a result, believers over the centuries have become very confused concerning what is the truth. So the Lord chose some and has been preparing many chosen vessels to use to recover these lost truths and to usher people back to the light of the scriptures and back to the proper experience of Christ. And I think we are noting that Robert Govett was one such vessel really used by the Lord in his work of recovery back in the 19th century. And even though he was not very well known, his contribution to the church has really been significant, and his teaching has really had a profound impact on many seeking believers. So today, Bill, we're going to get into what exactly did Robert Govett recover as far as the truth is concerned. And it revolves around these questions that many believers have been struggling with over the years, and that is whether or not believers can lose their salvation. And some have argued one way or the other. And so it's been a little bit of a confusing matter. If we're saved by faith, you know, questions come about, do works matter? And if salvation is a free gift of God, do we know that from the Bible we don't need to work for it. But how about once we are saved, does our living and our work or our conduct matter once we have received the Lord? So these questions Robert Govett got into, and quite often when he would come across some teaching or tradition, he would always bring himself and bring other believers back to what does the Bible say. So this was really Robert Govett's stand. So I think, Bill, we want to get into some of these questions and see how Robert Govett began to have a proper understanding through revelation that he received when he came to the clear word in the scriptures.
That's true, Marty. Govett, he was no doubt an academic scholar. He went to Oxford in England, and eventually he began to get into the word. And of course, he knew the Hebrew and the Greek, so he would dive into these languages with the Bible and begin to realize many biblical truths and principles that had not been seen throughout the centuries. So, I mean, you know, his proper teaching made it possible for us to be, you know, very clear about, you know, important matters such as, you said, the security of our salvation. How secure is it? Can we lose it if we sin? Things like the Lord's second coming. Over the centuries, There were so many debates about the Lord's second coming. When is he coming? Pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib? This was been a confusing matter. Different schools arose, and both had arguments on both sides. Also, the rapture of the believers. When are the believers raptured? Are they all raptured? Or do some go before the tribulation, some after? He got into this thing called selective rapture. Partial rapture. So these kind of things Govett really dived into. And as a person, a believer, that very, very few genuine fundamental believers have even heard about Robert Govett. And he was instrumental in bringing the truth of the kingdom and other matters that had been lost for centuries. So, you know, I think we understand, you know, to understand particular portions of the scripture without proper interpretation is very difficult. If you look at someone like Ezra in the Old Testament, in Nehemiah, even though he read the law to the Israelites, he interpreted the law and he gave a particular sense. And the scriptures, you know, mentions this matter about insight. He had insight, not just talking about the letter of the law, but the principles involved with the law. Like, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he came across a scroll from Isaiah. He didn't know what that meant. You know, Philip says, "Do you know what you were reading?" And then the Ethiopian replied, "How could I unless someone guides me?" So the principle in Acts 8 shows us we need guidance from those who have gone before us, who have a deeper understanding of the Word of God.
Amen. Well, we know that Paul mentioned this in Ephesians chapter 4, that God has given gifts to the church. And of course, one couple categories of these gifts are the prophets and the teachers. And these are the ones who are really skillful in cutting straight the word of the truth. And of course, even Paul at his time helped us to understand like a difficult book like the book of Leviticus. And Paul did this by giving us his exposition in the book of Hebrews. So I think that we begin to realize that not only do we have the Bible as a great gift from God, but we have been given other brothers in Christ who are also gifts given to the church to give us this insight and this proper understanding and interpretation that we could really know the truth and know the Lord in a proper way. So, of course, throughout the centuries, there have been many who have ministered and opened up the word like this to us. Some of the ones that we've been already spoken of in previous podcasts, like Martin Luther. But there have been many, like Andrew Murray, some of the ones, the Inner Life writers, William Law, you know, different ones who spoke about the church, Count Zinzendorf. And then we covered Brother A.B. Simpson. Some of these, both brothers and even sisters like Mary McDonough, they helped us to know the truths contained in the Word.
That's really so, Marty. Of course, then at the same time, you have particular brothers like this genius writer of the Brethren, John Nelson Darby. He gave us a synopsis of the books of the Bible. Another brother, also a Brethren teacher, but the Open Brethren, a brother named Benjamin Newton, other Brethren teachers, they really helped us. Of course, at the same time in the 1830s and 40s and 50s, you had these two brothers, mainly Robert Govet, because he was the first one that began to have his own congregation and expounded the Word of God. And then, of course, his helper, the one helped by him, was Robert Govet, and Govet helped this brother named D.M. Panton. Even Brother Lee is said to have said, when Brother Nee was young, he was helped a great deal by reading the books of, you know, G.H. Pember, Robert Govet, D.M. Panton. And then if you look at Govet's writings, I have a number of his books in my library, and they're absolutely unheard of almost in today's fundamental Christianity. These are particular gifts to the body of Christ, and they were used by the Lord to open up particular matters of divine truths. Even Govet came out with a book, a little publication called The Twofoldness of Divine Truth.
Right. Showing
divine truth has two sides. So whenever we try to figure something out, we have to realize there are two sides. There's an objective side and a subjective side. There's an inward side and an outward side. Especially if we take a look at this matter, Marty, of like the gift of salvation and the matter of the prize as a reward, this was something unheard of until Govet came along. Because prior to that time, all the believers, of course, most of them realize that salvation is a free gift. You don't earn it, as opposed to what came out from the Catholic Church. But he began to realize that, hey, even though we're saved by grace and not by works, we have to be accountable in our Christian life. So you have a matter of life, of salvation, but what about the living? Are you living by that life? Are you growing in the divine life? Mm-hmm. Those who grow and mature in the divine life quicker than others, they will receive a reward, a prize, you know, this is something that was very, very new to many believers.
Right. I think at that time, and maybe still some today, there was a false understanding that our salvation was not secure, that Christians could be saved, and then if they sinned again, they would have to repent all over again and be saved again. And this became known as like an elevator salvation going up and down. But Robert Govett and his student D.M. Panton, they began to come with more of a proper balanced teaching. They saw that once a person is saved, he is saved forever. He will not perish. He will not suffer eternal damnation.
Right.
And the gift of eternal life is bestowed without any price. That's true. And it is based upon our faith. It's not based on any works of righteousness which we did. And it cannot be lost. It's based on the Lord's mercy. He saved us. But there is the matter of once we get saved, we are accountable for how we live. So Brother Robert Govett realized that believers were being stumbled a bit when they came across verses speaking about suffering loss or of being punished or being appointed to a place with the hypocrites where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth or being cast into outer darkness. So these verses troubled some, and so Robert Govett got into this matter and realized there's, like you mentioned, there's two sides to the divine truth, that yes, our salvation is secure, but there is the matter of a prize or a punishment in the future based upon how believers live once they receive Christ and once they are saved.
So in other words, on one hand, we can say, right, we have the gift of God, eternal life. We can never lose it, right? We agree with that today. But on the other hand, there's another side. Like Paul, we're seeking, right? Now, Paul, mm-hmm. and in Philippians chapter 3, talked about he's still seeking. I haven't yet attained yet. I'm going after the prize, the reward of our high calling, almost like the Olympics. He says, I want the gold. I don't want the silver. I don't want the bronze. I want the gold. Mm-hmm. And so that taught that, you know, these matters such as a prize, that's a reward gained by some performance. It's not a performance before you're saved. It's how you live the Christian life after you're regenerated.
Right.
It's the prize, right, that Paul spoke about. We have to press toward this. This is what Paul talked about, you know, about being a partaker of the best or the outstanding resurrection so we can participate in the millennial kingdom in the future, according to Revelation chapter 20. See, this reward is given to those who have served the Lord. They mm-hmm. suffered for the Lord's sake. They did the will of the Father, according to Matthew chapter 25, 1 Corinthians 3. So according to Govett's, his proper teaching, not all believers will enter the kingdom of the heavens, right? No, not all believers, that thousand-year kingdom when the Lord mm-hmm. returns. Only the overcomers will be the kings with Christ in the millennium.
Amen. So
this kingship that Govett talked about in the coming age will be a reward to the overcoming one. So you can see, because Brother Watchman Nee was exposed to these writings of Govett, even there over there in mainland China by Sister M.E. Barber, he got a solid foundation in the divine truths of the kingdom that most believers over there didn't have any idea about.
Right. So Govett made this point that salvation is a matter of life, while reward is a matter of living. So he encouraged the believers at that time that we need to be faithful. And we need to be diligent in our following the Lord, in our living unto Christ, in our service to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So these things really matter that once we are saved. He pointed out it is, like you mentioned, it is possible to suffer some punishment during the millennial kingdom.
That's right.
But it's also possible that we could gain a reward like Paul.
Right.
Paul said in 2 Timothy, he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day. And Paul said, not only me, but also all those who love his appearing. So I'm just thankful that Govett and Panton began to point these things out, and they really encouraged believers that we need to take heed how we serve, how we build up in our Christian life, that it matters whether we build with gold and precious stones and silver, right. We will be rewarded. But if we build with wood and grass and stubble, we will suffer loss.
Marty, we really need to realize, too, how appreciative we should be with these brothers, even in the last, in the 19th century in the United Kingdom. These brothers, once like Sister Margaret Barber, they were responsible, right, for laying much of the foundation of even Brother Watchman Nee's spiritual life. You know, mm-hmm. Brother Nee often would tell the saints there in mainland China, it was through this sister, for example, right. M.E. Barber. He got saved. He was through a sister, right, Peace Wong, that he got saved. And it was through another sister, Margaret Barber, that he was edified.
Right.
And then, you know, Sister Margaret Barber, she introduced Brother Nee to the best spiritual books, Govet, Panton, and so on. And then Brother Nee, in turn, he dispensed these riches and taught Brother Nee these and gave Brother Lee a foundation. So, you know, Brother Lee even made a note that today, you know, in the recovery version of the New Testament, the notes related to the prophecies, these are extracts obtained through my study of the writings of Darby, Pember, Govet, Panton, and Brother Nee. Mm-hmm. He made a note of this.
Yeah, we are so appreciative, just like Brother Lee mentioned, that we are really standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. And you could see that Emmy Barber received from Robert Govet and D.M. Panton. She passed these things on to Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee passed them on to Brother Lee, and Brother Lee released them and put these extracts in his notes of the recovery version and spoke of them in his ministry, which we have today in writing. So we do have quite a heritage, Bill, to be thankful for, that these brothers really gave themselves to a very thorough and precise study of the Bible and gave us a proper interpretation with accurate meaning of these great truths. So anyway, I think maybe we'll stop.
Marty, I want to make a correction here. The sister that brought Brother Watchman Nee to the Lord was Dora Yu. The sister that brought Brother Lee to the Lord was Peace Wong. I just wanted to make that correction.
Next time, Bill, we're going to go on to Robert Govet's student, D.M. Panton. He really followed in the same line and released more of these same truths to us. Today, we're thankful for these useful vessels who rightly divided the word of the truth. Praise the Lord.